Let me bring in Mick Nugent. Mick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You've heard this argument, Mick. I know you're involved in Atheist Ireland, that the confessional, this new bill that was introduced yesterday, Children First, which says quite categorically that Gardaí, social workers, psychologists, teachers, clerics, working with children, if they become aware of abuse in any circumstance, they must, mandatory is the word, they must report it to the Gardaí. Now, you've heard the argument that the confessional, the seal of the confessional is paramount. What do you think?
Well, it's one of these kind of things where the Catholic Church thinks that their own internal rules trump the laws of the land, which clearly they don't. I mean, you'd also have to wonder, like, have these people ever seen a five-year-old child or a seven-year-old child, you know, and do they realise how small and vulnerable they are and how much they need protection? And the idea that you would put some sort of abstract notion of the seal of the confessional over just normal morality. You know, that's normal morality is how we treat other beings. You know, are we kind to them? Are we fair to them? You know, do we have empathy? Do we have compassion? You know, are we avoiding causing them suffering? And without religion, we would instinctively know what the right thing to do in that situation is. But with religion kind of corrupts this sense of morality that these priests would otherwise have. And there's a saying that I think encapsulates this, is that without religion, good people will do good things and bad people will do bad things. But with religion, you get good people doing bad things while thinking that they're doing good things. And that's the problem that this causes.
Okay, the most articulate voice explaining this argument has been Father Garrod O'Donoghue. Garrod, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
And you're a retired parish priest living in Kerry at the moment. You believe, Father Garrod, that the confessional is paramount.
That's right. The seal of the confessional allows for no opening whatever. What you're taught in confession stays there.
Regardless.
Regardless.
So take scenarios then. The one that Mick Nugent just mentioned there. A young child, a five-year-old child, comes in into the confessional and says, I'm being abused by my teacher, father, brother, stranger. What do you do?
Well, in that case, one would ask the child to come to one, to come to oneself outside the confessional. And if he succeeded in doing that, then he could proceed as one would expect any citizen to do.
But if, say, a child, let's go, communion's coming up, a child of communion age and subsequent to communion where they do make their first confession, and they do say something to you in the confessional, you would say to them, I want you to step outside and say it to me.
Well, not just step outside, but come to me later or come to somebody who is responsible, who would then take the matter further. But as long as it remains confessional material, there is nothing the priest can do with it. He is absolutely bound to confidentiality.
What do you think of that, Mick?
Well, I mean, I've heard Father Garrod on the radio elsewhere today talking about that, and he said that if somebody told him that they had poisoned the wine that he's using for Mass in confession, that he would go out and drink it because that he would have to act as if he didn't know what he had heard in confession. But I mean, what arises from that is, does that mean that he would leave the rest of the wine for somebody else to drink and die? In which case he's acting immorally, or would he drink it all or throw the rest out to save other people, in which case he's acting as if he did know. And see, the problem with these...
Okay, well, let's put that to Father Garrod, because that was one of the more fascinating points he made this morning. I was listening to him talking to Chris Donoghue on News Talk. And Father Garrod, you did say, if somebody came into the confessional and said to you, I've just poisoned the altar wine, you would go out and drink the altar wine.
Well, I would first of all try to persuade the person to change the altar wine or to go out and spill it or whatever. But if the person refused and it was in confession, it was a matter of confession, then I would do what I suggested.
You would go out and drink
it. Would you leave the rest of the wine then for somebody else to drink and die? Somebody inadvertently doing it because you haven't warned them?
I would behave as I would if I hadn't heard of it at all.
Well, that's shocking. That shows you've no sense of morality.
Well, then tease that out a bit more, Mick. Like Father Garrod, you're saying you would drink the poisoned wine.
That's right.
But Mick, I mean,
and you would leave the rest. Presumably, you would only drink the amount that you would normally drink. You wouldn't drink the rest of it.
I would do nothing different.
You would knowingly leave the rest of the poisoned wine for somebody else to inadvertently drink. One of your colleagues, a priest, saying the next mass.
Yes, because I would do nothing on the basis of what I'm taught in the confessional.
Well, I think anybody listening to this will understand that that is a deeply immoral position. That on the basis of what you believe the creator of the universe is saying to you, that you would allow another innocent priest to die by drinking altar wine that you are knowingly leaving there that's poisoned. Or more seriously, because it's an actual case that we're talking about, you would leave vulnerable children to be raped on the basis of not giving information that you know that could protect those children from being raped. It's absolutely shocking. And it shows that religion corrupts our natural sense of morality.
Okay, let Father Garrod come back in. Garrod, you understand why what you're saying is controversial?
Yeah, I understand that people are failing to understand that.
Let him finish, Mick, please.
What I'm saying is that what I am told in confession remains there. No action of mine will ever be based on what I am told in confession.
So what you're saying is what you were told in confession, it's as if you never heard it.
That's right.
So what is the purpose?
In confession, the priest is acting as facilitator or mediator between God and the sinner, giving forgiveness, giving God forgiveness.
Can I ask another question, Joe?
Yes, Mick.
If that is the case, then why would you try to persuade the person in the confessional to do the right thing, if that's your only role?
Sorry, is that question to me?
Yes, it's to you.
Why would you, within the confessional, try to persuade this person to report their crimes to another, to the relevant authority, or to tell you outside of confession? If your only role is to listen in God's place and give forgiveness, why would you take that step within confession? Is that not abusing your role within confession?
Sorry. I don't think I said at any point that my only role was to listen. I did say that my role would be to counsel the person, to try to persuade the person to do the right thing, to go and tell the appropriate authorities for what they've just told me. But if they refuse to do that, I then act as if I never heard it.
Well, this then is why we need these type of laws, is to ensure that type of immorality
doesn't take hold
in the land.
Father Garrod, you were basing what you say on, this is canon law as far as you're concerned.
That's right.
And this, you're not making this up yourself. This is your very clear and very vivid interpretation of what you regard as a seal. Sorry, not you. This is your interpretation of the seal of the confessional.
That's correct. And I believe that 100% of priests would agree with me.
Well, they probably would, but if you look at canon law, the reason in canon law that sexually abusing a child is a crime is it's not a crime against the child, it's a crime against the biblical commandment forbidding adultery. And the Catholic Church in canon law puts sexually abusing a child on the same level of canon law crime as ordaining a woman as a priest. It's such a warped sense of morality that it's not surprising that it ends up in these sort of mental contortions. And then on top of that, we have the Catholic Church in Ireland, and with not the integrity that you're showing to your own beliefs there, but the Klein report found that senior Catholic clergy had positively lied and positively misled tribunals about the sexual abuse of children. I mean, it's just a shocking institution in terms of the type of morality that it promotes, the suffering that it causes because of promoting that morality, and then claims to be the source of morality when it's acting so immorally.
Yeah, well, all I can do is repeat that. It's like, I don't want to parallel two things now, but if you go to a psychiatrist, if you go to a counsellor or solicitor, then in the very same way, they are not allowed to, without your permission, to carry your tail any further.
But you're saying, are you not saying, Garrod, that even if you said to, say it's an assailant, said, I have abused the child, you're saying even if you said to them, well, can I tell the police, you wouldn't, because it's in the confessional?
No. If they give me permission to tell the story, okay, I certainly will.
But in the confessional, you say it's about forgiveness and the Lord's forgiveness. Are there some sins that people admit in a confessional that you could not forgive? Excuse me.
No,
for example, if someone came in and said, Father, I've had an abortion, is that not a reserved sin? Have you not got to say, well, you have to go?
Yes. That is true.
Well, explain reserved sin then to listeners, if you would, please.
Reserved sin, I have the power of forgiveness of sin. Mm-hmm. I get that from the church.
A priest,
through my bishop.
Yeah.
But he reserves certain sins to himself.
Okay, such as?
Such as abortion. So I cannot forgive the sin of abortion without getting the person's permission to write or speak to the bishop and get the appropriate authority then to forgive the sin.
But you can forgive somebody for raping a child.
Sorry?
You can forgive somebody for raping a child.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, you see, and this is another problem, because one of the things that a priest that was convicted of child abuse said in media reports a few years ago, that what he had done is he had been continually sexually abusing children, and every time he did it, he would go to confession, knowing that by going to confession that he would get a clean slate to continue and doing it again. He referred to it as being like the magic wand. And this is the type of just horrific effects that you get in terms of the actual suffering of small children when people believe that you can just say, yes, I forgive you, and there's no further consequences for you continuing to rape children. It's just utterly shocking.
Well, no, you see, I cannot give that solution to anybody who has not a proper desire or will to better oneself. If one comes in and week after week saying the same thing, that they've done this, then you have to question, have they what we call a purpose of amendment? If they don't have the purpose of amendment, you cannot forgive the sin.
Yeah, but you don't know how long that purpose of amendment is going to last. And we do know in that particular case, which was a priest, that he knew that he would say that he meant it at the time, but he knew that he could change his mind in the future, because that's what he continually did.
Well, if such a thing were to happen to me, then I suppose I would continue to give absolution on the basis that I accept that the person is not wasting his time coming, saying this same thing every week.
Mick, do you
not have any admiration for the fact that what Father Garrod is saying? He's saying it's grounded in canon law.
Yeah.
He's actually giving examples, and he's answering the examples or the questions or the scenarios you're putting forward to him. And this is the reality of his priestly vows.
It is, yeah. And I mean, it's the same as the.
And they're not comfortable for some people to hear. But these are the realities of the priestly vows, and his arguments, regardless of what you think, are totally consistent.
Oh, they are, yeah. As were the arguments in the minds of the people who flew airplanes into the Twin Towers, who thought that they were doing it because the creator of the universe told them to do it. This is the difficulty with religion, is that it can give you this conviction, because you genuinely believe that you're doing what the creator of the universe wants you to do. It gives you this conviction that allows you to do things that otherwise you would instinctively know were morally abhorrent. And so while it is consistent, it is consistently immoral.
Well, could I just say this? Let's say that the rule of silence didn't exist. Then nobody would come to confession who had these serious matters.
Isn't that the point, Mick?
Yeah, well, and they, what they should be doing is they should be going to jail rather than to confession if they have raped children. I mean, the idea yeah, that going to confession is a suitable way of dealing with raping children is abhorrent.
And Father Garrod, I know you're retired now, but you've made these arguments before, I suspect. You've argued this out and you've thought it out and you've studied it out.
I suppose I studied it nearly 60 years ago.
Okay. And is there any of the arguments that have been put to you when you put forward these stark scenarios, when you answer these stark scenarios, has there been any argument that has minded you to change your opinion?
No, I'm afraid not. I would love to be able to, anybody who comes in, somebody comes in saying they're raping their daughter or niece or next door neighbour. Who's 7 years old. Now, that kind of thing causes the hair to rise in the back of your neck. Mm-hmm. So you do your best to persuade them that they should come clean. But if they refuse, then there's nothing you can do. Your hands are absolutely tied.
And have you heard that in a confessional?
I don't remember anything I've heard in the confessional.
Well, it sounds like you have from what you said before.
What?
You described it as if you had heard it. Now, Joe isn't asking you of any specific details of what you've heard in the confessional. He's just saying, in general, have you been in that situation where you have had to maintain your veil of silence?
Where I
with regard to child abuse.
As I say, I don't permit myself to think of anything I've ever heard in confession, because it's not mine. It's between the individual and his creator.
Yeah, but Joe wasn't talking about individuals. He's just talking about in general. Have you been in that situation? That's talking about you. Have you been in that situation where you have had to not report a child abuse?
If I was, then I did not report it.
And were you?
I don't know.
Oh, you do know. Now, you're saying you won't tell us, but that's not the same thing. You do know.
You're
not telling the truth there when you say you don't know, because you do know.
Well, all right. Let's rephrase it. Anything I've heard in the confession is not something that I can ever discuss.
But you are discussing it now. You're discussing it abstractly now, so you can take that extra step while still discussing abstractly, talking about yourself rather than talking about the people who have been to confession. Just have you ever been told something about child abuse that you have had to not report because of the sale of the confession?
Again, all I can do is repeat that what I have been told in confession.
It's as if you never heard it.
Remains there.
It's as if you never heard it.
Yes.
Okay, but
Father Garrod, and I know you're retired, and that might, I just see some comments here, that might lead people to think that you're simply sitting in an armchair and making these arguments up. You're not. You these are all based, as far as you're concerned, on your priestly vows and canon law, and this is the scenario. Now, what happens when this law, now there's no sanctions outlined as yet, but when it becomes law that will be illegal if you hear it in a confessional not to report child abuse, for example, will you still not report it?
I will still not report it.
It's actually more than that, Joe. There's already a law about that. The Criminal Justice Withholding Information Act 2012 is already there about that. This is a new bill about reporting suspicions of abuse or neglect. He's already obliged to report.
But he's not. Well, in fairness to Garrod, he's made it crystal clear, Mick. And I know you've been very strong, but Garrod has been strong as well. I know there are different age groups involved here, but Garrod, I think, has Garrod not made his position that he would be in as a priest under canon law? Has he not made it crystal clear?
Oh, of course he has. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, and I think we can take further than his statement that he doesn't know. I think we can assume that he does know, because he's a man of integrity. That was probably just a slip when he said he didn't know.
Okay, Father Garrod O'Donoghue, based in Kerry. Thanks indeed, and Mick Nugent in Dublin. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Ben Nocton was listening to Father Garrod O'Donoghue talking about the sanctity of the confessional, and you were impressed, Ben.
I certainly wasn't impressed with Mick Nugent.
Well, no, you were impressed with Father Garaud. Why?
I was. Father Garaud stuck to his guns. Father Garaud is a representative of God here on earth. The man above forgives everybody, mm-hmm. no matter what sin you commit. And the Mick Nugent is just totally anti-Catholic Church. He wants the priest to say that he could tell if he heard that somebody was about to rape Joe Duffy's daughter or Ben Norton's daughter, that he'd have to go straight to the police and say, look, your man there is... What he's told in confession is secret. When we were kids, we were told that. Mm-hmm. We were terrified. We probably told lies in order to tell a lie in confession when we were kids, because we needed something to tell. But for Mick to try and push the priest to say that he heard somebody had confessed,
and we
to
didn't.
Him,
he didn't. In fairness, to Father Garaud, he didn't resile from his belief. From his.
I agree. But
and he said quite clearly, it's as if what I hear in the confessional, it's as if I never heard it, regardless of what's said.
That's exactly, and that is as it should be. But okay. Mick was trying to say.
No, yeah, but Mick did his argument, and Father Garaud did his argument. But you say that's as it should be. Why?
Because God forgives everybody. That's a fact. Regardless of what crime you commit, regardless of what you do in life, God forgives you. If we don't have that belief, how can we keep going on?
But as Father Garaud said, the only reserved sin which he cannot forgive, he has to refer it up to the bishop, is somebody says they had an abortion.
Yeah, but that's the rules of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
It's not the rules of any probably other church. But like, if you're a member of the Catholic Church, you abide by the rules. Now, there have been very, very bad priests. But there's very bad people. There's very bad TDs. Mm-hmm. There's very bad radio presenters. You know, mm-hmm. They're a cross-section of life. So just because you have headbangers that... raped and went to confession.
Okay,
and
but you're saying Father Garaud, as far as you're concerned, was highly articulate in terms of putting forward his position as a priest. Okay, okay. Yeah. Thanks indeed, Van. Indeed, Gurmagat, Van Nocton, 51551 continues.